You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We have our second last debate. We are focusing on the Lifford Stranraer area. 12 candidates in total. There are 6 seats. We have Martin Scanlon, Dakota New McMenamin, Martin Harley, Patrick McGowan, Gary Hardy with us today. Niall McConnell was invited, declined the invite, just to answer a few people texting in there. Grants for old house renovation, far below what they should be, says a listener. Another, hi Greg, I'm a private renter in the Castlefin area. I work very hard every day for my wages, but this still isn't enough to get me a mortgage. It's very disheartening to see so many vacant houses in the Finn Valley that could potentially be someone's forever home. And I think our guests today have kind of echoed that. And it's not just in the Finn Valley area. That's a message that's come across from every electoral area. Patrick McGowan, sorry, you were going to just continue a point. I think it might have been important to you on the hospital.
As I said, we had a meeting there on the 13th of March, a very fruitful one. I'll just read you the first line of that, the minutes of that meeting. The meeting was held as arranged in St. Joseph's Hospital. It was both positive and informative and helped clear up a lot of uncertainties for the group. So that, I'll not go into the whole details, but basically, we got the committee there. We got at least 5 or 6 people from the different services, older people services, people, property managers, and so on there. We had Dr. McCauley as well.
Okay, but just on that point, if I could just cut to it. What is coming from that meeting as it relates to dental services, the return of dental services, physiotherapy, occupational services, other services that people are currently having to travel to Donegal Town and to Lifford from? So what came from that?
Just to give a bit of context, the reason all of this come about was there was a HECA report done last year. There was no mention of fire safety. There was another one done in January. They come on. Red alert, and that was the word they used, red alert. So all of the units within St. Joseph's had to be done up, and immediately they started to move the services. The ones that could move out, you can't move out the patients, obviously, nowhere to go. So what they've done on a temporary basis, they moved half the people getting physio from outside. They were going to go to Donegal Town, the other half delivered. Mm-hmm. They're temporary. They'll be moved back.
When's
that's
that?
Number one. They have been moved out. When they're going to come back is when the HSE has the fire works done with St. Joseph's.
Have that begun?
They're working at them since that, number one. Number two, what they've done as well, the HSE are now at looking at not having everything on site. They don't want to bring in a lot of outside patients and treatments into the setting of a hospital, probably coming from what happened during COVID and that. They don't see the need for it there. So they're actually actively looking, number one, for a site within Balbuffet. I know they're negotiating.
But the email I got was for within the Finn Valley area.
Yeah, no, the latest we have and what we were told at that meeting, first of all, they were hopeful of actually, there's an old building within the St. Joseph's Hospital site. I don't believe that's my information up until yesterday. I don't believe that's suitable. But they're at an advanced stage of negotiating with a property owner in Stranraer.
Now, you've had a lot of time on this, Patrick. I want to bring others in. Do you want to quickly wrap up your point?
First of all, the plan is as well, they're actually going to change from 3 wards up to 4 wards, reconfiguring. They're moving from 3 4 bedroom wards down to there'll be two bedrooms in each room, double rooms and that. There's a lot of plans. This is something that we will be keeping a close eye on. Mm-hmm. As I say, we have regular meetings. We're not in the past, we probably were taking a lot on trust. That is no longer. We will watch and we'll keep an eye.
Okay, Gary Doherty, come back in there. You wanted to come back in. I've Sinn Féin.
I just wanted to broaden the discussion when we're talking about health, and I think we need to talk about Letterkenny Hospital as well, because while it's not in our MD,
it's your hospital.
It's our hospital, exactly, and it serves everybody in Donegal. And the fact is that 100 GPs and consultants came out last year and said that the state of Letterkenny Hospital was not good enough, that it was unsafe, that it was overstaffed.
Understaffed,
and overcrowded. And that's simply not good enough. We need to see changes in Letterkenny Hospital. We need to see changes in how we look at healthcare. And one of the things we need to be prioritising, I think, is how we look at community healthcare and treating people in the community, preventing people from having to go to the emergency department and blocking beds, basically, where we simply don't have the beds anyway. Letterkenny, as we
just
know.
Just on that, is St. Joseph's still the default step down from Letterkenny University Hospital? Is that still the case?
It is a step down facility.
One of many.
One of many. But my point, what I'm saying is it's stepped down from anywhere. You could be from anywhere in the county. You could be moved to St. Joseph's currently still.
Yeah, Letterkenny to Balbafay, and the people in Balbafay end up going Cairn Donnell.
Yeah, or Dunlow, I think Martin said. Go ahead, finish your point, Gary, and I'm going to bring Martin back in then as well.
It was just to make the point that Letterkenny has five critical care beds and there's only one extra bed for overflow and no high dependency unit.
Now, the government has announced the provision of a number of additional beds for the hospital.
Yeah, but we need more. Like Letterkenny is currently a Model 3 hospital. Now, I understand the way hospitals have to be, that we need Model 3 hospitals. But given our geographic location and where we are in the country and the amount of people that are using Letterkenny University Hospital, I think there's a rational case to be made to make Letterkenny a Model 4 hospital because the statistics prove that you're more likely to attract consultants who will transfer to Letterkenny if it's a Model 4 hospital rather than the model that we have at the minute, which Model 3, where it's harder to keep those consultants in place.
Martin Scanlon?
Just to come back in on like the day hospital in St. Joseph's like that, there would need to be returned for the people of the community to give them somewhere to go, allow them to stay in their homes, and they can go and get their services that they need that they might not have at their homes. Like, and we need to be looking at more home help packages too for people to keep them in their homes. Like 20 minutes to a half an hour is not sufficient to do anything in a home for people. And the home helps, they do great work, but they're just in and out. I remember from my own experience, my mother done home help, and it was an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. And it was... And there was 10 or 15 minutes to talk to the person too. Like, and that's done away with. It's just more of a service now, and there's no community spirit about it. It needs to be brought back to the way it was.
Mm. Okay. Did anyone else want to come in on that? We can come back to it, but...
Yeah, well, I suppose just on the... I suppose Martin touched on it there, the home help. The home help is a big issue. It's getting people that... There's a lot of people throughout the county and throughout our area that have been granted home help, but it's getting the staff then to staff it, and I think that's a big issue. Letterkenny Hospital, I think the Taoiseach was on this morning with you, said that there'll be an extra 3,000 overall extra staff within the health service over the next number of years. That's important. The new Letterkenny Hospital, which will allow for step down as well, that will free up beds within the general hospital as well. And it's getting staff to relocate to the northwest. That is an issue, unfortunately. But I think probably on Gary's point, if it's up a grade 4 hospital, it may attract.
That's been said in the CD&T area, still not filling the vacancies though, but extra money was put in to try and incentivise people coming to Donegal. There's been limited success in that. I don't know why we can't do it across the health service if we can do it with CD&T. Patrick, you wanted to come back in before we move on?
I agree with both previous speakers as well about Letterkenny Hospital, and I did listen to yourself and the Taoiseach this morning. Like, and
nice, isn't it, that he speaks to me? He doesn't think I'm too anti-government, which I think is quite nice.
He doesn't listen to you every day, though.
Oh, no, he listens to me plenty, Michael. And you know I don't hold anything against anyone. Go on.
I know. I listened to him this morning, and it's very good that he's taking an interest. Doesn't matter who the Taoiseach is, as long as he's taking an interest. The Minister Donnelly was down here a couple of months ago, you remember?
He was on the show as well.
Primary Health Care Centre in Donegal Town is very good, and had an opportunity to him. And like I did say to him, you know, we do feel like the forgotten county here. And I give him some of the details as to why we feel like, years ago we felt the troubles held us back, were cut off.
Right, okay.
But I think the other thing I just wanted to make was regarding the home helps. They're complete. I think the HSE themselves are not giving enough effort into it. It only costs about a tenth of what it is to keep somebody. The cost factor alone, the benefit of keeping somebody in their own home, plus the feel-good factor. People want to stay in their own homes.
But the logic, you see, this is what people can understand, right? You have more funded and staffed step-down package. You have more... look after people as much as you can in their own community. You have better resourced GPs so people can get an appointment, a timely appointment. That takes the pressure off Letterkenny University Hospital. The logic is really very, 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 very simple.
And if you follow Martin's point as well, what we're proposing there, say, for Clahan, and we spoke to John Gallagher a number of times up there as main, but this is actually what's actually been proposed.
Just to
have Tech and Castlefan and Muskellan and Lifford. You have not only have older people living together, but you also have a sheltered housing unit where you can different services and come in and work together, but you need the home help. At the moment, the home help are doing great work, but they say that they're not recruiting them or they're not getting them, but I actually believe myself that the home health workers are not being well treated by the HSE. I think that they don't value them the same as nurses and other hospital staff, and I feel very strongly about that.
Okay, Dakota, did you want a final word on that? Dakota, Nick Miniman?
I would just like to state about Lifford that Patrick McLaughlin did bring an update to them about getting the new site to Lifford. But that's about that. Just about the recruitment embargo that we have with the HSE as well. Like, I was talking to one lady and she's a psychotherapist, and she said she's number one on the waiting list to get a job and with the HSE, but that she's been on it for months and they've just keep telling her, we can't recruit you because we're not allowed to.
Right, so we have a psychotherapist ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And she can't get in because I think Barker Martin Harley.
Yeah, well, I think the teacher cleared that up this morning about the embargo.
Yeah, but that was in a different area than Dakota's referencing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, but overall, like within the HSE, I mean, the embargo, it's not really clarified to the public the way the embargo works. They're still allowed to bring on an extra 3,000 this year, like, so it's not... The spaces are available there.
It's Martin, the other Martin with us, Martin Scanlon.
Just on health before you move on there.
No, we can come back. It's not a, you know, well, but I do want to hear what you have to say.
It's just towards GPs and rural areas. Like, they need to be given more incentive to come to rural areas. Whereas you have in a town, maybe you have four or five GPs working out of the one building. They're sharing expenses, sharing secretaries. In the rural communities, you might have one doctor run the entire practice by himself. And we need to be looking at succession for these GPs. In my own area, we have a GP that he's hoping to retire, I'm sure, within the next few years, and there's nothing in place. Mm-hmm. It probably will be within the lifetime of this council that he will be retiring. And if we don't get someone to fill, there'll be a void left there. And if we don't get somebody to fill that, we're going to end up where we're going to go to Balbuffet instead of an Oilers practice, and which
so
is overrun as
it
is.
If there's not a continuance of that service, if there's a gap at all, it could just be lost.
Well, it needs to be looked at now before, when we have 2 or 3 years to bring somebody into that area and make it attractive to them to come there.
Okay, Gary Doherty, Sinn Féin.
Yeah, look, the simple fact is we're living in a country that has a €9 billion surplus, yet we have a health service that has a current recruitment embargo. How does that make sense to anybody?
Is that not an admittance that the HSE is such a basket case that we can't just keep chucking money at it?
Well, in principle, that's fine. But remember, we're moving to the regional health
model.
So the HSE as a single body will soon be coming to an end. And perhaps we'll see changes in that regard. But to have a recruitment embargo in the HSE, it's simply not good enough. And there are examples within the health service of where there's a will, there's a way. And I know you had Gary and Kate from the Letterkenny Pathfinder service on a few weeks ago. Like, that's a fantastic service.
And they are so keen to see that retained and expanded.
Yeah, because it's a pilot project. That's not happening everywhere else in the country. But what it's doing is it's allowing those paramedics and the community paramedics to visit patients in the community and do blood testing there and then, which is allowing them
trips
then to
stop
make a decision.
Stop the people go to Letterkenny and sit for 17 hours to get
to
on
ED
that trip.
Or not. Yep. And the second thing just to point out about the ED is that other areas in the country have a minor injury unit where, if you have a broken arm, for example, you go to the minor injury unit. You don't go to ED. Whereas in Letterkenny, we don't have that.
I did that 30 years ago in the Donegal. 40, how long? It must be 45 years ago, believe it or not. But I had to go. And you know, in the local hospital, went in and got x-rayed and stitches.
Yeah.
That was 35 years ago.
Like, everybody that's listening to us and watching us this morning will have experience of going into the ED, and no harm to the staff on there. But you'll be sitting on those hard plastic chairs waiting to get in through the magic double doors. And then when you think you go through there, you're going to be treated, Yeah, you might be sitting on the floor. On
just in relation to the apprenticeship, and I meant to say this at the time, but a couple of listeners have pointed this out. Martin Harley, I think you referenced them. They're pushing out the apprenticeships to five or six years rather than the three. It is the six, isn't it? That is putting people off, right? That there was something there that potentially could work and now it's not. And also, too, that, you know, how can we ensure that we're not just training people up to take their expertise and move to another country? We never want to stop people spreading their wings and exploring, don't get me wrong. But what, I mean, can you see the logic of making it such a big commitment, a six-year commitment to, for an apprenticeship? We need them now. And I mean, obviously we want them properly qualified, right? But there has to be another way.
Oh yeah, we do need them now. We need them yesterday, not even now. And that is I don't agree with pushing out 6 years, definitely not, because I know I have a son of my own that's doing an electrical apprenticeship at the moment, and when you're 19 years of age, even the fact of 3 years even seems a long time when you're 19. It's different when you get to our age, but you know, we do need the staff. I do feel that the extra course that have been there will help. And the long term, short term, we have a difficulty. The thing about training them up when they go on, that is something we have it with our teachers, we have it with our nurses. I mean, that's a lot of them people go away for a few years. Everybody likes to travel for a few years when you're that age. But a lot of them come back again and tour. So people are coming back a lot of people are heading away, but a lot of people are coming back as well, because when they decide that they want to start a family, they feel that Ireland is the best place to be to start a family. And that's why people go away when they are young, but they do come back again, and them skills will come back into the community again and into the workforce. So the fantastic work that EPB and the apprenticeship programs that they're doing there, we will reap the benefits into the future.
Martin Scanlon, have you anything to say on that? Of course, because you were talking about we need I think you said we need the skill set to sort of do this work.
Yeah, we need to train more people, and the fact that it's been pushed out for another 2 years will put people off doing that. Like,
it's a huge commitment, isn't it?
It is a huge commitment, like, to put 6 years of your life to, and an apprenticeship is, you know, it'll be seen as being poorly paid, you know, for training for 6 years. Like, and when you're trying to maybe save up for a mortgage to get your deposit, like, it's not going to work. You maybe be 25 years of age before you would get an achievement in your field. So I do believe the 4 years was sufficient, you know, to train people. They've been trained for years, for 4 years, so why not leave it at that?
Okay, another area, keen to see you guys. Go ahead, yeah.
I had some experience in that. I worked for a while in the LA, or the FOSS Centre in Letterkenny before I went on to, was a tradesman. I used to help train people. In that time, they were changing models between the English
but
model.
But manpower, wasn't it?
No, it was FOSS. It was, they were changing from the model of City and Guilds over to Ireland and Europe, and didn't know. But I think we should have a dual model there, that we should actually be able to do maybe what that time it was, you're in City and Guilds, you're on a year, and then you could do an advanced course, and then we're talking about apprenticeships. And I agree with Martin here, right? The leading it out isn't productive, not in the short term. And I think some people will go, if it was a year, year and a half, and you get site experience, and that's what you used to be doing before. You run the centre for 6 months, and you went out in the site, or you went out a couple of days a week. So I think we should have a dual model, both the apprenticeship and the other, and let the people, whether it's in forestry, we also have the same challenge actually in childcare. There's people running childcare tell me that you have to go on now and do the courses. You can actually do your experience and working in childcare actually on there.
Yeah, but when you get fully qualified in childcare, you don't get paid properly.
You can do well, and this is what I'm been told by childcare providers, that you could do your year, your training, and then you can do your own in situ training, get paid, and still take a day, a week or two, and come back. And this is the kind of thinking we need. You know, we need to think the here and now.
Martin Harley, did you want to come back in there?
Yeah, just a quick point as well, because I mean, we have a lot of talk about immigration, but there's a unit within the DLDC there, the Employment Engagement Department there, and they're coordinating with Ukrainian people that are coming to the country, and they're getting an idea of what their work skill, their skills are, and they're putting them into getting them involved with employers. So there's a lot of work going on there as well. So instead of looking at where this is terrible for the country. This is good for the country. What can happen there? The only one thing as well is that probably the language barrier, that is an issue. But there's a lot of courses going on that they'll be trained on in the basic English.
There's not enough of those, according to those within those communities that I talk of. When we talk about building houses, just briefly, one concern I have is that. Do we have, you know, the sewer public services infrastructure for the heady plans that we might have going forward? You know, there's a lot of deficits in these areas. And I think in a lot of areas of this county, what's actually going to hold us back? It's not the will, it's the way in terms of actually having the infrastructure to build the houses that were being promised. Gary, did you want to talk about that, Gary Doherty?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge issue. And it's something that, look, I suppose as local councillors, that's one area that we all have
but we don't want to be held to ransom by Iscairn.
No, absolutely, no. But it's something that we as local councillors have to make representations on behalf of the constituents that we represent. And one of the visions that Sinn Féin have as part of our housing policy is that we mentioned affordable housing earlier on and how do we get people onto the housing market. Our idea is that if the state were to purchase land, the state services the land. So the state will bring the sewers, the water, the electricity, the broadband. They put all the services into the site. The home itself then can actually be sold at an affordable price to the person that wants to buy it. But the state would still retain ownership of the site. The person owns the house, the state owns the land. And I think, look, that's a more sustainable way of working, I think, than what we're doing at the minute, where we're just leaving it to private developers. And we don't have a master plan, really. One, like, I've been canvassing in Convoy over the last few weeks. People in Convoy have been complaining about this for years, that there's been development after development, but no master plan for the town to make sure that development is managed.
And sustainable, presumably. Martin Scanlon, independent.
Just on infrastructure there, you're talking about bringing in for new builds. I think we need to be investing too in the infrastructure where we have houses in rural Ireland. We have a large section up in Glenfinn where there's no public water for maybe 3 miles of it services almost 50 houses. You have Curragh Monaghan Mean Ban that's looking for a water scheme. And in my own area over in Stirgalley, we have water there, but over the past few years we've had ongoing issues day in, day out, that there's been no pressure. So we need to keep the infrastructure we have, upgrade it, maintain it. Broadband in the rural parts of the country too. If we learned anything from COVID, it was the fact that we were able to work from home and get the things done. But without simple services like broadband, we're not going to get people working from home in rural Ireland. And I think that needs to be looked at. And people have been told it's going to be 2026 before they're going to get broadband to their house. Like, and it's not acceptable in this day and age, like, to wait another 2 years for it.
Patrick McGann,
again, I suppose it's probably government strategy and plans, and Irish Water as well is starting to invest in the big towns, as you know, the Letterkenny, Donegal Town, Balfenst, and others just completing massive development and sewerage there. It'll tick for the next 20, 30 years, God knows, it'll be there for a long time.
We don't all want to live there.
No, and I know that the other point I would make is the point we made earlier. When people build in a rural countryside, they provide a lot of these services themselves, and they're well maintained. The proper septic tank and a proper site is as good as anything. Their big problem is the villages, because we have a county development plan that's trying to give quotas into smaller villages, and that's where we have challenged this, particularly in the present county development plan, is a lot of the smaller towns like Castlefin don't have the proper. They've just enough. We have Habitec, who's got as tendered. It's been just approved there now for 34 houses. And that back in the day, in 15 years, 16 years ago, they were actually looking at other sites, and I advised them to go on that one simply because that one already had planning.
Yeah.
Now, to be replanning, we have the same issues in Lifford. The treatment plants are just about covering what's there at the moment, but they don't
allow. Well, that's the problem. So how do you expand?
Your own words were being held to a ransom a bit, but there is investment. And look, it's not surprising that they're going to develop the big towns with sewerage and infrastructure first and then the smaller ones. But if they're seriously about stopping one-off houses and putting them into towns and villages, then they are going to have to up the ante and start putting infrastructure into villages as well. All of the infrastructure, it's not just sewerage.
Right, okay, we're going to take a break now, which means then we pretty much then can run to the end of the show. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio, and we are at our second last local election debate. We're in the Lifford Stranraer area, and we have five of the candidates contesting six seats, isn't it? Yeah, there's 12 in total, five today. All right, back after these. Lots of you texting in, and I'm sort of incorporating a lot of your points as we go through this. I hope you recognise that. I want to move back to Dakota Nick Menman, who's running for Sinn Féin, and talk about safer communities. I know that's something that you did want to talk about, and there's sort of a lot encompassed within that, Dakota. So when you talk about that, what are the areas of attention that you believe need to be looked at?
So with the last 13 years or so of Fine Gael in government, there's definitely less Gardaí on the streets and less Garda stations are opened. So I know even in our own town, it's hard to get the guards in at times in Balbofey, and that's a big town. Like, so people just don't feel safe in their communities anymore. We definitely need more recruits. So Sinn Féin have made that promise they would hire 1,000 new recruits every year, and we put a plan in place to retain these guards. So it's community safety is a big one, and look, we need to be hitting that, and playgrounds and stuff too. Like, it's about keeping them well maintained and making sure there's no antisocial behaviour going on and all that kind of stuff.
And has there been, do you sense an increase in concern in the community over safety?
There is definitely, yeah, because like where our town park is at the minute, so we have the one in Ardmacool, like that's like that would be an area with a lot of older residents, and they are concerned about the park, about like youth drinking in it and whatnot, and it's definitely something that needs to be tackled and can't keep going on in our community. Like, I know when I take my 1-year-old down to it, there's always like ones in like 16, 17 that are just kind of sitting around the swings, and you're almost intimidated to tell them, can you move off it? Like,
yeah. So, do you think too then, as part of that, maybe there needs to be a little bit more around the twin towns to occupy the in-betweeners, the teens?
Yeah, like there's a lot more that could be done to highlight all the, like we have a lot in the twin towns. We have a lot of soccer clubs and football, Gaelic, everything, but the youth clubs as well, I think they need to be more highlighted, and I think they definitely need more funding, the youth clubs, to keep them going.
So we're not at the point yet where you'd be reluctant to take your 1-year-old down to the play park, but you know, you don't mind facing up to people effectively.
Yeah, like I don't mind going down, but I know like any of like grandparents would be more concerned than my age group of going down to the play park, but the grandparents taking their grandchildren down, it's them that's more concerned for their safety.
Martin Scanlon, did you want to come in on that?
Just on that, like, I've been getting it at the doors that unless you are involved in a football group or a group like that there.
Sport, really.
A sport group, involved in a sport group. There's nothing actually there in between. Like, you have youth groups and that, but there's people that's fallen between the stools, you know, 17 to 19-year-olds that they have nothing to occupy them. So I believe we need to look at something that we could bring to the area to keep them going. Like, when you go above 17, 18, 19-year-old, you know, the next place they have is a pub, you know, for socialising. So I wouldn't be encouraging that at that age. So, you know, we need to put something in place there for them to keep them out of the pub. And sorry to be cutting across in Martin's business there, but
no, he sells coke and 7-Up. Don't worry about that. Gary Doherty, I suppose there's a couple of issues there. I mean, there is the you want a situation, particularly I think in public spaces, that people feel safe, but secondly to a wider sense in the community that there's not as much policing about as there should be.
Well, that's true, because look, since 2011 there's been a drastic reduction in the number of Gardaí that we have on the streets. Yet there's been a drastic increase in the population of our country. So that doesn't tally. So it stands to reason that communities don't have the visible Garda presence that they need. Anecdotally, when you're out on the canvas and when you're talking to people, nobody can remember the last time that they've seen a Garda checkpoint. And Garda checkpoints are something that we need, because like at municipal district meetings, at council meetings, we're always talking about issues like speeding. And no matter how many signs you might put up warning drivers to slow down, nothing will slow them down quicker than seeing either the Go Safe van or a Garda checkpoint.
And we've seen that outside schools, whereby parents and guardians and teachers feel they're taking their lives into their hands.
You simply don't see the checkpoints anymore because there aren't enough Gardaí. And as Dakota rightly said, Sinn Féin have a plan to invest in 1,000 more Gardaí over the course of the next government, and I think that's absolutely imperative.
Yeah,
that
but
that
we
happens.
Need them up here, though. We don't need them
absolutely.
Going to the next. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. They need to be spread around the country, and there needs to be an equitable share.
I think you can only sort of. I don't think you can enforce that. I think you can only stress that because of the space that's required between government and police. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, I would certainly support everything there, and I do. Like, there is a difference here on criminals and what goes on sometimes at night and within some of our estates and the drugs and the carry on, and say what's going on with youthful boys just looking for something, or girls and our playgrounds, you know, and really the playgrounds are for children up to 12 years of age. We have signs on the wall. I've been involved in every playground at RMD this last 20 years, and we have more funding, and we're doing something that I lobby big time. We maintain the one at the base there across the road in Ard McCoolan. We do our best, like, but we need backup from parents and everybody else to try it. We used to get that. Parents now are reluctant to get involved as volunteers because sometimes you go on at night, say at 9 o'clock, you're going to lock the place up because you don't want boys coming in, antisocial behaviour. Well, all the parents that do the locking up, they get abuse then from other people. So look, there's a big social issue going on here, but really get into the more serious crime thing. And yes, I agree, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, everybody's promising more guards. We need them in Donegal, not just in the cities. And they have, again, it's like a lot of things. The funding goes to the, and resources are going to the high populated areas first. But the big issue I would have, and I have it in my canvas card, and I've always talked about it, is about what we're doing with the criminals, the people that are out, that dealing with drugs, antisocial behaviour, terrorising every estate in the county, every town, and what we're doing. With the punishment's not fitting the crime. The victim ends up being the criminal, and the criminal then is just crying tears. Up to Dublin, colour TVs, back out again in time to another crime and back in. I've been saying it for years. I've called for hard labour that we need to start taking the gloves off and start dealing with criminals. And like, I make it very clear, everybody, any one of us and any one of our children can make a mistake. That you know, there's none of us angels. Anything can happen. But people that persistently go out and cause
would you take
the gloves off?
Would you take off, or at least try and recoup down the line, a free legal aid?
I don't look. There's things that we can do. And we can't. You can't do that. You can't be guilty and just sit until you prove yourself.
But you're not going to. Yeah, but if we're going to do that, you're not going to get them out breaking rocks with pickaxes either.
I simply think when people are found. Illegally found and go to court and are found guilty. When the Gardaí have done their job and have done it time and caught the same people red-handed time and time again, It's time the courts up their game and start to deal with these people, because they're no sooner in than they're back out. It's the same people doing the same thing.
Okay,
it's no wonder. People coming up and maybe coming from very difficult social backgrounds thinking, well, sure, this is the way they go. They look at the boys with the big cars and the big money, and
they aspire to that. I get you.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And I think that's why there was new laws. There was new laws introduced to have greater punishment for those that bring young people into crime or lives of crime. Yeah. You indicated you want to come back in there, Gary Doherty of Sinn Féin.
Yeah. Look, restorative justice is something that I really believe in, because I think you need to make these criminals or perpetrators of crime understand exactly the impact that crime has on the people and the people in their community, and understand what the victim has gone through. And then through that process of restorative justice, I think we can try and repair the reputations and repair maybe what's going on with the perpetrators. But I think something that I would also believe in as well for more serious crimes is mandatory sentencing. I think for far too long we see serious criminals and people who have committed crimes up to and including murder getting away with sentences that are far, far too light through chinks in the process.
Yeah, I get you.
And they're a very specific case. Yep. of a girl that we all know, Jasmine McMonagall. I just think that mandatory sentencing needs to be brought in so that situations like that don't ever happen again.
Did anyone else indicate there, Martin Hardy of Fine Gael?
Yeah, just on the was touched there on the free legal aid. I mean, I think I feel everybody should be entitled to free legal aid once in their lifetime. As Patrick, everybody's entitled to. We all can make a mistake in our life, but this, when you see cases where guys are up and they've got 58 and 59,
it's sometimes then you feel like they appear on a website or whatever and it's almost like a badge of honour. Yeah, it's not actually, see, for a lot of people that would be the worst thing could ever happen, but for others it seems to be.
If they had to pay for it themselves, I think they would think about it, whether they're going to commit crimes again, and if it's taken out of their money, taken out of their wages or taken out of benefits, whatever way that this, I think they would be thinking twice again. But they walk up and they get solicitors, they get barristers all for them, everything paid for, they don't care less, and then they kick the case down the road for about 2 years before it eventually comes before the courts.
All right,
to the original point about, I mean, suppose in the Twin Towns, so now there's the council have bought a new park up in Drumbow. That's design work is going on at the moment. That will be a fantastic addition to the Twin Towns. I feel that...
Is there CCTV in these public spaces that could act as...
That's what's going to get to there, is that we need more CCTV. We need more cameras on our roads, because we've seen it now over the last number of weeks, and I've talked about it myself at the council meetings, outside schools where cars are flying past. We had an instance at Glen Ely School there and above Killigordon, across roads a few weeks ago, where somebody was almost killed, and we don't want to be on this programme talking about...
Yeah, well, staying on that, so a caller says, can you ask the candidates what they're going to do about speed coming into the Twin Towns, especially the Donegal Road direction, Finn Harps Junction along with the Drenan Road? Yeah. We all know that area. It's not good. The problem seems to be, a lot of the time, is getting the TII to the table to accept that what the local opinion is in relation to some of these hotspots.
Yeah. Well, see, that is the thing about... That's getting back on that there again. And I know all about the Drenan Road. The Drenan Road is used as a bypass of the town. This is why the bypass is needed so badly. I live on the Drenan Road, so I know exactly, trying to get out my own gate, what it's like. And there's, as I say, if we had cameras along different roads... Because we're talking about now, there's a speed review going on at the moment, but speed reviews are a waste of time if we haven't got cameras, or we haven't got speed vans, or we haven't got Gary the checkpoints.
All right. Go ahead, Gary. Yep.
Just a wee quick point, just to expand on what Martin was saying there. There's a Go Safe van that's always on the road down towards St. Joseph's, and you would periodically see that. You'll see it three or four times a week. Nobody speeds on that road anymore. Nobody. Mm. Because they know the Go Safe van could be there. And it's going back to that point about we need more resources. And the more resources we have, the safer we can make our communities.
Okay.
Just going to add one point that I think rather than dealing with these issues, because we're getting this everywhere, Convey, Castlevan, Killigordon, every day, all of the candidates will be getting it. I think rather than dealing, and we want it ramping this road and that one, you can have a Go van everywhere, and we're certainly not going to get a guard. I think the government's initiative now about lowering the speed limit, and I know the question is, when you lower it to 60 and you put it up and down, who's going to go? But I think that's a good step, because it's a good step to look, like, there's roads that are marked at 80 kilometres an hour and you'll be looking to do 40. It's a bit crazy, you know, and I know people come back to this country.
I mean, what frustrates me about the Finn Valley area is the TII saw fit to use people's safety as an experiment. That was all right to use that as the people there as an experiment, but won't actually listen to the people then to address obvious issues.
You're right. Sometimes in authority that make the rules, they're the first to break them, and they don't stand up. Like what happened in Belfast was an absolute disgrace.
Well, we'll not reopen that can of worms.
No, but what did happen, it's a mindset that allowed them to put that up at a junction.
Well, I'm not very clever, and I knew before that opened that was...
To put it at one of the busiest junctions in the county was
still there.
Crazy.
Still there. Yeah. Greg, Dakota is right. My daughter has worked since she was 16. She paid rent, applied for planning permission on her own site, but there has been obstacles from three different planners. Last was a traffic study, even though she's inside the speed limit, which was costing in excess of €3,000, and she can't afford it. And now she's living in a mobile home, Dakota. So, I mean, that's someone who's living the reality that you've been talking about this morning.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it just shows how shocking everything is at the minute.
Just in relation to the Twin Towns bypass, and we'll be brief enough on this if that's okay. The Letterkenny ones, they want the Bonagie link prioritised as part of the 10T, which is putting, again, the Twin Towns on the hind teat of Letterkenny.
Yeah, well, we've been hearing about this for a while because it's been leaking out of the Letterkenny Municipal District that the officials run the council, particularly last year, have been asking to sort of lift the Letterkenny-Monaghy link.
Get that done first.
But thank the member. But now what's been recently happening, the engineers have been telling them that a lot of the thought coming out of the National Roads Authority and the National Transport Authority is that the bypasses is the main priority here, not to build new roads. New roads now are being pushed back. We can see it all over the place for local roads. And the bypass, a town that needs and stands up, their priority. So now they're thinking of calling the Letterkenny Link. It's going to be the Letterkenny Bypass. We know what's going on there. We're very aware within this MD. We will be lobbying, number one, to keep the three projects on the table.
Yeah.
And then if they're separating them, we'll be looking for the Balfane Story Bypass first. But look,
and I think
not
that talks
yet
to a point Martin Scanlon was raising as an independent, the fair share investment for the Finn Valley area. Often, hey, I don't mean that, this is a joke, right? But you got elected five times, given out about the amount of money Letterkenny was getting over your area.
I'm not against it. Let me make it clear. I've never been against Letterkenny. Balfour and the Finn Valley do very well. We could work out with the hospital, the ATU. The point is, there has to be a wee bit of fairness.
Martin Scanlon, you want, of course there does, for all areas. Martin Scanlon, you say that the Finn Valley area needs to get its fair share of investment. Are you talking about roads there or generally?
Just roads mainly would be the main one. Just generally. And infrastructure generally, and the bypass does need to go ahead now as soon as possible, because we're using the Capri Road as the bypass across Barney Logues Bridge, which is a back road, and it's not a safe road for the amount of traffic that it's carrying at the minute. So that there has to be looked into and has to be pushed forward as soon as possible. And I have no issue with Letterkenny getting his fair share of funding, like the hospital and the new facility that's going to be built there. It'll be great, and we'll get use of it in the Finn Valley area as well. Like, so I'm not against Letterkenny getting funding, but we just want to get our slice of the pie.
Is it still the case that the roads monies is allocated based on kilometres and not road traffic? I mean, the Finn Valley is probably one of the biggest border crossings, some of the heaviest amount of traffic, heavy goods traffic. But that's not taken into account, Martin Harley. It's how many kilometres of road in any given area. That's always going to be a pain in terms of getting the right amount of money in relation to roads, but more generally speaking.
Yeah, I suppose it's something, I walked out of a meeting at a council meeting because I was supposed to could say I threw the toys out of the pram because I just felt we weren't getting no support. But then you have a system where you have six councillors in the Finn Valley. You have 10 in Letterkenny. They're not going to vote to say to give more money to the Finn Valley. It's based on kilometres, unfortunately. What we keep always maintaining is that the east of Donegal, where we are, is the main area for farming, for milk producing, for meat production. And so there's and plus, if you're coming into the county from Northern Ireland, your first entry point is almost through the Finn Valley region. So that's what we've always been pushing for. We have, traffic-wise, Inishowen is the same size as County Louth, yet, but they've massive amount of roads, so they get a lot more funding than the Finn Valley, although they may not have the same amount of traffic numbers. So, like as I said, the last TIA meeting I was at in the beginning of December last year, if I leave Derry tomorrow morning and I drive to Adair in County Limerick, the only town I have to go through is Balbofaste and Orler. That's the only place I have to go through. Every other towns are bypassed. Tubbercurry is not the greatest, but you're still not going through the middle of town.
I get you. Okay.
So that's a big problem.
Gary, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, look, it's something that I think the six outgoing councillors and whatever six new councillors are elected after the 7th of June will all agree on in the Lyfford-Stornoway and Early Municipal District. Road conditioning and the amount of traffic on the roads should be the two most important aspects when deciding roads funding, not how many kilometres of road you have. Is the road in a poor enough condition that it's causing damage to vehicles and it's causing potential accidents? And are there a large enough volume of vehicles using the road on a day-to-day basis? And we have both of those in the Lyfford-Stornoway area. And that's why, I think we're basing it
on distance of roads, but there are three contributing factors to a road collision. one driver, two vehicle, three roads. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think people of your area should be disadvantaged because the roads are less in terms of length. It's actually quite crazy. Greg, if they're putting a new park up Drumbo Avenue, are they going to widen the Drumbo Avenue as it's so narrow and a death trap?
Well, what I certainly would propose, and I've spoke to a number of people in the town about it, Drumbo Avenue is well named. It's supposed to be an avenue. I would propose that they would drop the speed limit Drumbo Avenue down to 30 kilometres an hour, and that the cars would be the secondary. It would be for pedestrians go up and down, because we already have fantastic walks up there. We have a graveyard up there. We have a school up there. Using it as a shortcut is not a long-term plan. And I would certainly be opposed to cutting the trees from one length of Drumbo Avenue to the other just to make a footpath. We have off-road paths on the upper side of Drumbo Road and the lower side. And I wouldn't propose to start digging up and cutting down the weeds. The reason people go up there, okay, even before where this new park's going to be, it's fantastic. It's the twinkle, it's lovely along the river. We don't want to destroy that, we want to preserve it.
Okay, now, what we did talk about is important, but what we didn't talk about doesn't mean it's not important. And I think right across the table here, everyone is backing 100% redress for all. I think I'm correct in saying that, aren't I? So the fact that we didn't focus much on that, especially given Martin being affected homeowner, it doesn't mean it's not very important to the candidates here. They don't necessarily decide what to talk about.
We have all signed the document and we're 100% for it.
In fairness to Joe McHugh, lost the party whip with Fine Gael because he went against the government on the redress. So, and we've left Donegal without a Fine Gael deputy now at the moment. And in fairness to Joe McHugh, Joe has been working with us as councillors, even though he's not a member of the party, over the last number of years since he lost the party whip. So, I think.
Is Joe McHugh running in the local elections now?
No. I just want to give him a praise where it's due. Like, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Dakota, anything you want to say before we wrap up?
No, just that we are 100% redress and that we support all families that are going through that. And our system is an end-to-end remediation system. And it's about prioritisation and not exclusion.
It's interesting to hear the Taoiseach today say that he was going to take up the end-to-end element of that with the relevant ministers, which I thought was quite an interesting intervention. We'll see if anything comes of that. Listen, thanks. Sorry, Gary, go ahead.
Just on that, that's an important point to raise, Greg, because I think when we look at, I think we were talking about childcare facilities this morning, we know it's an issue in ETB schools. I think the government need to be looking at divesting responsibility for defective blocks into the different departments rather than keeping it within the housing department. If it's in educational buildings, it should fall under the remit of the Department of Education.
Childcare.
Okay, so I think that's something important that needs
to
be done.
Listen, thanks so much for all of you calling up. I really do appreciate it. And the very best of luck in the elections to all of you. And we look forward to seeing you maybe at the Aura on Saturday and out at the Count Centre on Sunday. The 12 strong candidates looking for 6 seats, and they all want to be the person to represent you. And hopefully maybe you've learned a little bit more about them today. Martin Scanlon, independent, the very best of luck to you. Dakota Nick Menemum of Sinn Féin, I was going to say I hope you do really well. I hope you have a nice experience, okay, is what I'm saying. Martin Harley of Fine Gael, thank you as always, I appreciate it. Patrick McGowan of Fianna Fáil, sorry we didn't get to hear much from you today, Patrick, but maybe maybe the next time we can get him.
Thank you, Maura.
Gary Doherty of Sinn Féin, thank you very much indeed. All right, everybody, that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. And we'll be back with our final debate tomorrow. It is Buncrana, and we have 5 strong candidates again in looking for your vote. So please stay tuned for that. But for now, for me, Greg Hughes, and all of the team here in the 9 till noon show, stay tuned because John Breslin's coming up around the Northwest in just a few moments.